Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, Mindscape artists. This is Candy. I am your host, and I am here today with my co-host, Dora Jones. Now, this has been a week and a half, so I'm not going to do a whole lot of talking. I'm going to let Dora minister to us, because this week has been packed full of so much stimuli. And I'm just going to ask you all to just take a moment and just relax and just come on in this room so that we can just commune and relax and come together. We are but programs, and there's a lot of programs running right now, and it's time to download a little bit and upload something that we can really use, because I don't know if you all have listened, but I have been bombarded with news that I can't use. It's do this one day, do this the next day, and it's just gotten really, really crazy. And it's gotten to the point where, and this is what's intended, where you don't really know which way to go, which is why it has come to my attention, even though I do know it, but it has really become clearer that this is why it's always good to stay in a state of connecting with Source and just making sure that you are at one with that, because if you are not, you will be pulled in all different directions. So without further ado, I'm going to bring Dora in. Dora, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, how are you?
I am beautiful, fantastic.
That's great. That's great. I love it. I love it. And so, you know, we'll just get right into it. I am so excited, as usual, to see what you have for us today. I'm excited to listen and comment a little bit, but I'm really just ready for you. So what's going on?
Oh, wow. Oh, what's going on? So much is going on, and then there's not much going on. I remember growing up, now before I go there, I would like to do this. And it's like it is when you close your eyes and you think of, you think about, as you said in the opening statement, is like time to shift down and think about what's really real. And tuning in to oneself is easy, and then it's not easy, because there's an already always talking when you tune in. And getting past that you that is always talking is doing its job. But we have to really tune in, get past the already know. I meet a lot of people, they already know a lot of things. When I meet myself, I usually go to, I don't know that. And it seems if we could get to move past the already, always talking part of us to I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to know the truth. So you close your eyes and to listen to you. And notice how you shift, how easy it is for you to get distracted, even from yourself. And when you're tuning in to all the media that's around you, most of the time you completely lose yourself. You just forget about you. And then we put on these faces, the faces that we wear. It's usually triggered by something that is a stimuli outside of us. And there's a lot going on now. And it's always been a lot going on. It seems like it's a lot now because we are how many degrees from each other? A click, a tap. You click, you tap, and I'm in your world.
Right.
But I'm really not in your world. I'm into digital. I'm into mechanics. I'm into electronics.
Mm-hmm.
So what would it take for us to really tune in just to each other? That you're in my space, you're in my face, you're in my world. Now let me see what face you're wearing. And are you looking at my face? We just don't look at each other's face anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We look past each other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not looking at you. I'm looking past you. And I'm looking to see what is it that you have that I need. But I'm not going to tell you that I need this. I'm going to work a scam on you. And I don't want you to know that I'm going to steal from you right about now. Because I'm not going to ask you anything. I'm just going to steal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take your emotions. Hopefully you'll give me some thoughts. If not, I'll pretend like I'm reading you. We love to try to read people instead of asking. I said, why don't you just ask them how they feel? I get texts and people just assume that I'm okay. I hope this finds you well. Duh. Why don't you just ask me?
Right.
How are you, Dora? We don't do that because my response may trigger you to do something that you don't want to do.
Uh-huh.
If I would say, I'm not doing so well today. I don't know how I'm going to meet my needs for the month. And I'm worried. So since we don't want to have to deal with whatever's going on in your life, I just want to ask you. I just hope that this finds you well.
Right.
And I hope that I hope this finds you well. I hope you're okay.
You don't need anything.
I hope you're okay. You don't need anything because God can meet if you do.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. No, I'm not going to ask you because then I got to deal with your response.
Right.
And you may need something from me. Well, those needs that we have from each other are very valid, and we should really welcome those needs because it puts us where we need to be with that person. I mean, frankly, do you want to be around someone all the time and they don't ever have a need? I mean, they're just so self-contained. That's the creator. That is source. That's the universal creator.
Mm-hmm.
Does not need anything from us, but we are creatures. So we need things. We need oxygen. We need food. We need shelter. We need transportation. We need fuel. We need clean air. We need clean water. So we have these things that we need, and then we need to feel, I need to feel you emotionally. I need for you to tell me the truth. How are you? I know
right.
you have a need, but we pretend like we don't have needs, and then you start telling people what your needs are, they quickly change the subject.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now what am I going to do with that? So when we just want to participate with each other, and it's not genuine, where I really get to feel you and to hear you, and you don't need anything from me, that is, it creates something between two people that is totally void of human interaction.
Mm-hmm. So when you think about needs, in order to know what you even need, you have to be in touch with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have trust.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this society where we are being pushed into this artificial intelligent world, which is making us numb to our needs and giving us the illusion of something else. So when you think about the fact that our emotions are muted, what do you suggest that we do to pull each other out of that?
Well, first of all, is to recognize that we have become these people, and stop pretending that we're not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
come out of the illusion of pretending that you have arrived.
Right.
And you do have these needs, and they're very valid. These are valid needs. It does not make you a bad person. It doesn't make you a need. It doesn't. We got this thing where we don't want to feel needy, and yet we need food every day. Thing ourselves. We need oxygen. We need clean water. The air. We need. And yet
yes.
We don't want to ever use that word. We want to stay with the cute word. These cute words. The cute words is like, don't ever say you and don't ever say you want anything either. Just go ahead and claim it. Well, you don't have enough consciousness to start claiming anything. Just admit that you're not the creator. You are a creature, and you were created. We were created to have these needs, so we would have to interact with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get around it. So what we do, because we will not own up to that, we become clever at stealing. I'll steal from you. I'll steal your emotions. I won't ever tell you that. You know me. When I see you, you really fulfill a need for me. I feel happier. I feel grounded. When you're with me, I can sit into you, your stability, your availability. I used to say that there are two A lists. There's an available, there's A for available, and there's A for absent. You know, people show up, but they're really absent. So
yeah.
I'm here, but I'm absent.
Mm-hmm.
So AA. Which one are you, and how do you react when someone else play the role of, you think they're available, they're really absent.
Right.
Then you have to see that pencil you're
yes.
in for a few minutes, just a few minutes. I'll call you on the way to somewhere else, like absent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to take any time to say, well, when can we really get together? I would love to see you and just see you, talk to you, feel you emotionally, not through cyberspace, not through the internet media, or even the telephone if I can get to you. I want to see you. That's different. So we have these artificial fake, you know, our fake jobs, our fake relationships, our fake.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what used to be fake. Fake hair, fake nails, fake smiles, fake, how are you? Oh, I'm okay.
Wow.
I'm okay. And you get used to saying, well, how are you? Okay. You know,
that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people do get used to saying that. We're lying a lot of the time.
We are.
And when you tell people the truth, they don't believe you.
No, they don't.
And so you have to always stand in your truth and be consistent with that. And when you stand in your truth, it really does power the other person, empower the other person to stand in their truth. And I think that is the problem. We sit and we pretend that we are accepting and loving, and we're not.
We pretend
we're okay, and we're not. We're not. We are pretending so much, and being a kind of being an introverted person. And loving to spend time alone, when I go out and assert myself, it's like, wow, you just see so much. And you're like amazed at how people go day after day after day after day, after year, after year, after decade, and never hear or see themselves. They've never met themselves. And yourself is always trying to meet you through circumstances. Like this situation right now has been a time where ourselves are trying to say, hi, nice to meet you. And we keep pushing it out of the way. And what's on the news? What is Facebook saying? What is Twitter saying? What is Instagram saying? And yourself is saying, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Well, what do we need to do? Do we need to wear masks or do we not need to wear masks? And yourself is saying, I can tell you what you need to do.
Yes.
I have the answer, but you're not listening. You're not listening. There's nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't new. There is nothing new. Just because it's new in our lifetime, we think it is so brand new. So our DNA, our history, our ancestry has already gone through all of these things that we think are so new, and the answers are locked into our DNA, and we don't even take time to listen to the blood flowing through our veins and the spirit of wisdom trying to knock on the door of our intellect and the Spirit of God trying to open the heart and say, this is the way, walk ye in it. I know exactly what you need to do as an individual. Some people need to wear a mask. Some people need to do certain things and take certain precautions. But I may have something different for you. I may need to reach you. Or show you another way of protecting yourself You know, I got you on D3 a long time ago, or I got you on elderberry tea a long time ago. Whatever it is that you've been preparing for this moment for, because every moment has been already laid out in preparation for the next moment and the next moment. Everything leads to it. So we're already, we as individuals are prepared, even though it looks like a mess. But I don't think that we understand that, because we get pulled away from ourselves, like you said.
Yes, we do. It's being with, I find being with others, I mean, truly being with another person, being with another person, is when you truly make that choice to be with another person in that moment, whether it's a lover, a girlfriend, a neighbor, it really doesn't matter. It's that if you choose at this moment, I am going to be with you. And there's nothing else. But I don't have a pencil. I'm not watching my watch. I'm not listening for my next text. You know, I'm with you mm-hmm. now.
Right.
When we can do that, there's a lot of self-understanding surfaces.
Mm-hmm.
Just to really commit. It's just an experiment. You could, and it's called honesty and being truthful in that moment with another person.
Mm-hmm.
We can find out a lot about self and about listening to self if we tune in to self and you, because there is a conversation going on there that is nonverbal. And this is a mask we're wearing. You know, this is the faces that we're wearing. So when I actually tune into you and I just look at your face, and I'm listening to you, you're telling me a lot about me, because I am now in your face. See, mine's me now, I'm in your face. And it's amazing how that works. I have projected myself onto your face, and I'm looking at myself in your face. And that person is looking at themselves, her, himself, in your face.
Right.
It is so absolutely amazing how we
mm-hmm.
read, how we can read the self in another person's face.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Isn't
okay.
It?
It is, isn't it?
Because mm-hmm. we're all connected.
You notice that? We're all connected. So
mm-hmm.
when we roll up on each other and we take
you say,
that moment,
I noticed that. I know that look. I know that look. And even the tone.
Look.
I know that tone.
I know that tone.
Yeah.
That's me. See, that's me. I see me in you. That's me.
That's right.
Oh,
there
thank you. When can I see you again? I want to see you again.
Right.
You have allowed me to be with myself in you. This is why relationships are so important to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
I get a chance to get me through you.
Mm-hmm.
Now what
mm-hmm.
do I like what I see? Wait a minute. What face am I making that you are mirroring to me? Is it impatience?
Right.
Or is it tolerance?
Mm-hmm.
Is it spite or is it good?
Mm.
Is it hate or is it understanding?
Mm.
Is it intolerance or is it compassion? Is it vengeance or is it forgiveness? wait a minute. I need to do some upgrades on myself. Hold up. Look what I see. Look what I see that I have planted on you. The brain actually does this kind of programming very quickly when we, I like the words the kids use, when we roll up on each other.
Right.
My brain gets to work. And I am visiting myself in you. What face am I wearing? I can see it in your face. And you should see yourself in mine. Is it compassion?
Yeah.
Is it a desire to understand, to forgive, to restore? What is it? What is this? I've rolled up on myself here with you. I think that's probably why we just like, I can't deal with you now. Oh.
Right.
Can't deal with myself. I can't deal with you right now. You are messing with me. Don't do that to me. Well, I won't be back to visit you soon.
Right.
So it's like, now I need to turn the other cheek. Because I experience intolerance. So I need to turn my cheek now to compassion. And so that's what Jesus meant by turning the other cheek. Love is, fear is being thrown at us now. I mean, fear. What are these to say? False evidence appearing real?
Yeah.
False evidence appearing real? Okay, so much. So why don't we turn the other cheek? And the other cheek would be go to love. Don't even talk about go to self-love. Let's just declare we got that one down because we know how to do that. But we know how to get self-love. Come on now. How about other love? So we turn it the other cheek now. We're done. Do me. What am I doing me? Okay. How about doing others?
Doing others.
The face that you have been wearing is in other people's face. When you roll with, I like this for the kids, I really like it. When you roll up on somebody and you stand up for a moment, they are showing you your face. Now, what do you see? Do you see patience? You see intolerance? Do you see compassion? What do you see? Do you see invite? I want more. Do you see beautiful, fantastic? What is it you see? It was like, what do we hear? What makes reasonable people lose control and run after false evidence appearing real? What makes individuals that say they worship God every Sunday and they pray or whenever they go, and then the moment that false evidence appearing real shows up, the worship stops?
Right.
Okay. What happened to, as you said earlier, what happened to standing in your truth? Where did that go?
All right.
Okay, this is about the faces that we wear. Are you wearing a face of love, or do you wear a face of fear? If I say that the Creator, the Universal Creator, God, Universal Father, doesn't really care what we call the Creator. That's on our little level.
That's right.
You know, that's like, please, okay, whatever. But what is it that you, where your faith is your faith is in the false evidence appearing real? Or is it in the truth? So if you want it for the truth, as you said, Candy, you got to sit and ask yourself, well, what's really going on? What is the truth?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Or you have to find one of those people that you call weird and look in their faces. That's a weird
thing.
Right. They don't have the MSIs behind their name. They don't dress like they have been to Ivy League school. They don't have the words that Ivy League have. They just have the truth. So you go look in their face and say, I can't seem to hear me. Well, go look at one of those people's faces. so you can see, because they can reflect you onto their face. And you will see. To stand in your truth. Well, what is your truth? Fear? Is that the mask you wear? What triggers you? Yes.
Yeah, what came to mind is going back to the self-love, you know, what is really that, you know, it's not feeling good, just feeling good about yourself like we do. A lot of people think when you take care of your nails and your hair and you care for your body, they must really love themselves. They take care of themselves so well. That loving yourself is all about not judging what you see. You don't really judge it. You use it as information, but you're not judging it. And then that leaves that space there for you to have another person there to interact with. So it's like there's room for someone else. But if I'm always judging myself and being overly critical to the point where I'm creating this negative energy within myself, then when I come in contact with you, there's really nowhere for you to go. And I think that's what we're up against, is that people are having this false sense of self-love. But they haven't really, you can't love yourself if you haven't sat down to meet yourself, to listen to yourself, to accept yourself without judgment, to have compassion for yourself and mercy on yourself, so that when you come into that, you're coming in, oh, when I'm around Candy, I feel mercy, I feel compassion. I don't feel any judgment. There is space for Dora to be Dora. So therefore, when I look at Candy, I finally get to see Dora in Candy. But if Candy had all of that other junk in there, it would be so cloudy that I would feel so drained. And we do that with people, where we get with certain people and we feel energized because there's space, there's room for us to stretch out, plenty of room. But then you get with some people and you feel that restriction because they have so much blockage in there that nobody can get in. And with this social media, forget about those other things that I talked about. That's deep. We can't even get in due to artificial intelligence has completely, with speaking of viruses, we have a virus. We have been, our program has been hijacked by social media, and we are just social medias walking around now. There's no room for people.
Yes. We have a wonderful opportunity for self-realization.
Yes.
And self-realization is spiritual. It's really not, it's not material. It's
right.
Spiritual. And the only reality worth striving for are divine, spiritual, eternal. Now, that is not to say that the material is unimportant. That's not what we're saying. We are entitled to the physical side, the enjoyment of physical pleasures, and the satisfaction of human affections. And to benefit by loyalty to human associations and these temporary institutions that we value. They are part of being part of what we are and who we are. But these are not, they are not eternal. They are temporary. They are foundations which we build something else, which can, when I roll up on you, and I start sensing myself in you, in order for it to be lasting, and it's not just a fix, I need to feel two things. I need to feel your divinity, and I need to feel your humanity. Because to come online and they are not coordinated, usually you get a religious fanatic or you get an intellectual snob.
Right.
So
there you go.
So having the coordination of both parts of me and taking that moment of looking at self, as you say, without that judgment and for information, and meeting yourself through the eyes of compassion. And if that's true, when I roll up on you, that's exactly what I'm going to get. That you are there with yourself. So we are seriously, sincerely, we are children, all of us. And we are crying children. We have needs. We are children that need parents all the time. Someone would say, well, they are grown. I said, well, then what do you do when something is grown? We are not grown. We are older. And some of us have had experience that we have translated that into wisdom. But we still are children.
We're not grown. We're older.
We're older. We're not grown. But that's another thing. We need to let some things go. Well, I'm grown. Well, you mean that's it? No, you're not. You're just older.
Yeah.
And you've had some. That's all you've done. You've gotten older, and you've had some experiences to match it. And at some point, when you get 60 and older, you're going to get some wisdom to go with it. Right now, you're just making tracks if you're under 60. So take yourself off the hook. You don't have to say, I've seen it all out. Well, you haven't. I'm older than that, and I haven't figured it out. And And I love the fact that I need a parent.
I noticed the more you know, the quieter you become.
Yes.
When I see women like my mother in her 80s, when she was my age, she was teaching and talking and doing. At 83, she's being. Mm-hmm. And she hears things that she doesn't agree with. She sees things that she doesn't agree with. And she just kind of looks. Now, because I know her, I know what the look is.
Mm-hmm.
But she no longer feels the need to correct anything.
You're right.
And that comes from self-acceptance. It comes from the wisdom of knowing that everybody has their journey. And they choose their way. Everybody is where they want to be, consciously or subconsciously. Everybody's where they want to be, because along this road, we've all had the opportunity to be somewhere else. And you can always go back and think of the choices that you made that led you to this point if you're not where you want to be. And when somebody shows up and they are in alignment with where they're supposed to be, something in you goes off and says, hey, you might not say these exact words, but you look like you're where you want to be. How did you get here? Share with me what you do. You know, when we talk about the energy, the Christ consciousness, that whole thing of drawing people to you, not going out and trying to evangelize it, but be it so that people who are awakening can feel that energy, make that eye contact, and go with who it is that has been assigned to them. And when we are where we're supposed to be, we're ready for the assignment. But when we are not answering the call to ourselves, and fulfilling that bigger destiny outside of us, beyond ourselves, when somebody wakes up and looks at you, they're like, okay, they're not ready. They're not ready, you know. And so when you talk about listening, being quiet, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. Even if somebody says something that you don't agree with, there's always a piece in there that you can pull out of it. And even if it's something that you don't agree with, it could be a door to a new idea of something that you've never tried before. There's a reason why you came into existence with each other. And why whatever decision you made to go down that path to run into that person. There's a reason why I tuned into your show, 11 years ago, or however many years, 15, 11, 12. There's a reason why I tuned in. And the light was on. Imagine if the light wasn't on.
Mm.
You know?
No.
So turn the light on. You don't have to go outside. But if you know how people go, kids go trick-or-treat and they look for the porch light. You know, turn the porch light on. Just have a little treat there and just put it in the bag and send them on their way. And they may get home and decide they don't like it. But I think is a great way to be, because, again, it leaves space for people to find their way. Because I notice when you tell people specific things to do, they do it, and then they go and do it their way. Anyway. I got the answer. This is how you do it. A, B, C, D. And they'll do that. And they'll come back and they'll tell you, oh, I did A, B, C, D, but something came to me. And I added that in there. Okay, you got some divine inspiration. Good for you. You know. But, yeah, I just happened to be inspired with that trend of thought because we don't have the lights on. We have social media on. We have our jobs on. We have the bills on. We have, I got to have this relationship on. We got to have, I need something outside of yourself. I got to have that. And when people come up, the light's just not on.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I've always appreciated my elders as a child. They offered me something that was that they had already tried.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, let's say, been there, done that.
Right.
And I would listen to them, and as when I took Latin in the ninth grade, one of my favorite slogans became favorite to me was experience or dope it.
Mm-hmm.
Experience is the best teacher.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't say self-experience. It just said experience.
Mm-hmm.
So if a person has had the experience, they always got my attention.
Right.
I didn't have to do crack to know that I would crack.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I saw it in other people, so.
Mm-hmm.
I am one that says wisdom to be gleaned from direct experience and also indirect.
Right.
When I saw my mother every year, she was pregnant for my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think I needed to have as many babies as she had to get that I was not ever going to be off.
Right.
See, sometimes we can benefit when we do see other people.
Yeah.
Because the experience is experience. Now, some of it is direct, but some of it is indirect. I benefited a lot from the elders because that's like, been there, done that? Well, when you tell me that, okay. And if you say to me, if you do it this way, Dora, I'm listening. Because then you already, the diploma says, if you plunge it this way, well, I'm not going to go and try my way without doing his first. He is
right.
The expert. Okay?
That's right.
See, experience, he has the experience. So experience, I don't get. It didn't say direct experience is the best teacher, period. It just said, experience is the best teacher,
mm-hmm.
yours or mine. So I thought, I'm going to watch you too. You may have, I can watch you do it.
That's
I don't
right.
have to be the one that have to have a patent on it. I don't need
yes.
to go get a trademark. I don't need to go get the copyright. You know,
mm-hmm.
you're spending all that time getting all of that, then you're not going to do much. You know, the man said you spend so much time being the English language police. You got to repeat how somebody say a word. Who told you that was the best way to pronounce it?
Right.
Who made
right.
you the grammar police? Well, now you tuned out of the conversation because now you're critiquing how people talk.
Right.
Hope you're getting paid for that. Because
mm-hmm.
that needs to be income for you.
Mm-hmm.
So experience our doka. So all the people, male and female, when I was younger, they got my attention.
That's right.
And
me too.
Yeah, because they had done it.
And the appreciation. I don't think
yes.
we appreciate. We don't appreciate it anymore. Value.
No.
We don't value that. You know, what do you think I should do?
What do you think I should do?
Now, here we go again. Usually, if that person's light is on and you ask them that question, it's going to resonate with you. And you're going to say, wow. You know, somewhere deep down, you were feeling that and you felt like it was right. You know, I remember when my grandmother, when I went to her about something, and, you know, and I tell this story all the time, you've probably heard it, where I was just going through all of this stuff that was going on, and she just told me to broaden my shoulders. Well, when she said it, I got it immediately. She didn't have to say, and that's another thing I've learned, is that the best instructions are always short.
Short. Mm-hmm.
They're not long. So when she listened to me, I know I talked for an hour. I don't know how she sat there all that time.
Yeah.
But she let me talk. And when I finished, she said, darling. I was like, yes. She said, broaden your shoulders. I was just done. I was done. I didn't have anything to say. I think that was the end of the conversation. I don't remember anything after that. But it was a mix of emotions. I was like, first, like, what? Is that all? Is that all you're going to tell me? After I just told you everything that he did and how it was done and when it was done and how many times and broaden your shoulders. You know, and that wisdom, she was around that age at the time. She was in her 80s at the time. She was the age that my mother is now. She probably talked in her 40s, 50s, and 60s, but as she aged, her words got less and less. But her message got more and more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciated that. We don't even say thank you for just the simple things. Nora, thank you for what you said yesterday. Thank you. I really needed that. I appreciate that. Thank you for taking the time out to be on this call. I so appreciate you donating your energy. Thank you, because you could be doing something else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we start appreciating, valuing each other, putting value on each other, maybe that can get the porch light on. You know, oh, okay, there is value there. Because I think a lot of people have lost the value. And I don't mean narcissism, you know, that's out of fear. I don't mean egotism, that's out of fear. You know, it's just complete and total gratitude is missing. I'm so grateful.
I know.
You see how that changes the tone, though. The whole tone is so grateful that you're here. I'm glad that you don't have on a mask right now. I'm glad you have breath in your body and that you have allowed us to block out what's going on, and we've created a tent that we can all get under and share some me time, meaning that I see me in you, because there's no distraction. Wow.
As a little girl said, I had no idea. She watched her father, and he was working. And it was such love. She was watching her father, and I was watching her because she was interesting to me.
Yeah.
And he was doing his technical, mechanical stuff. And she sat there, and then she said, I had no idea. See, she had no idea that her father could do that. And she said, oh, my God, I had no idea. And it was such sweet innocence that I just thanked myself for that moment. I was in that moment with her. And she was just amazed with the skills of her father. That was a grandfather. It was a grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just, oh, my God, I had no idea.
Oh,
I said,
wow.
And I thought, how do we forget the innocence and the wonder of our youth?
Mm.
Our youth is that when I have to remember that when I am into thanking God as my father. I used to couldn't say that because I was too sophisticated. But since I pulled off sophistication, I can say, thanking God as my universal father. And when I approach my spiritual father, it's like a child. I approach like a child. And when I execute my faith, I do it like I'm an adult.
Mm-hmm.
But because when I would go to my terrestrial father, his name was William, and I thought he could do everything. There was nothing he could do. It's
right.
He was so good, we called him the hard man. Because he just, and if he wanted us to do something, he would always talk about himself first person. And he would call his name. So I think about my spiritual universal father, and I think about my divinity and my humanity. And I really work at bringing them online together. So I remember when I thought I had figured it out. Because when you're in your 30s, about 40, I think, you really think you've figured it out. You really need to meet an old person.
Mm-hmm.
They'll let you talk. They got time for you to talk. Because, you know, empty wagon makes a lot of noise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I remember my day, as you told me about yours. I don't think I was 50. I figured it out. And this, when I finished, she said, come back to me after you're 50, and let's have this conversation.
Right.
It's like, okay, all right. That's all she said. I had figured it all out. I just knew that it was what I had devised in my limited intellect. I had all the answers. She said, come back to me after you're 50. I must have been about 30, I think, when I had figured it all out with her. And so this little girl, she reminded me of that moment watching her, of that she was in awe about her grandfather. So, so who are we in awe of?
Yeah.
It's like watching, and I like watching men work with their hands.
Yeah.
I get like, oh, wow, he can do that?
Yeah.
Whoa, I think I want to be in a relationship with him, so that's what I do. Like, whoa. He can do that?
Oh my goodness. How did you learn to do that?
And I'm like, wow. And I'm like, the little girl was. She was in awe. Her grandfather was using his hands. And she says, oh my God, I had no idea he could do that. So when I see men working, like the, they really men and they really working, I'm like, wow. I'm in love with you. I'm in love with you. Do you know that?
Right.
I want to touch your hand.
I will
feel you.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. And it's like a little girl. It was so innocent and it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
So when did we become so unreasonable, and when did we stop being in awe of something so wonderful, that is so wonderful, like watching you, watching my mother what she would preserve, or watching my father when he would work on a car. It's like, whoa, wow, where did that come from? And then you forget that. You get sophisticated. We have all the answers now.
I used to love to watch my grandmother iron.
Yeah.
I think iron and washing windows, cleaning windows, are the two things that I used to be so mesmerized by. Because when I would iron, no matter how hot the iron was, no matter how many times I went over a space, no matter how much starch I used, I could never get it like she got it. And I couldn't figure out what she was doing, right? So then she would say, you know, come on out here and help me wash the windows. Well, I'm washing the window right beside her. I have my rag. I have the solution she's using. I'm copying her. And she has no streaks, and I have streaks. And I can't figure it out. I haven't figured it out today, to this day, right? So my mother was washing windows, and this was about 3 or 4 years ago, and she said, you want to come out here and wash windows? Well, not really, but I will, because I, you know how valuable that time is. And her window was streak-free. You know, and I say that because being aware of those little things is where gratitude is. Being that aware of a man working with his hands, a grandmother ironing a sheet, a mother washing a window, you have to be present for those things.
Mm-hmm.
That's better than meditation, you know. Wow, I am really in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so grateful. And I think that doing the things that we do and get caught up in and get tied up in and getting caught up in wearing the faces that we wear, trying to be something we're not, we don't get to see the ironing in the window. Well, we don't get to see that anymore anyway. But hold on a minute. Who's on the line? Do you have anything you want to say?
This is Craig, and I'm just thankful to be here just listening to y'all talking. And I agree, you know, it's a beautiful thing for a little girl to be the center of her daddy's world, you know. And little girls want to get their daddy's attention and say, look at me, you know. I'm the center of your world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful language of love there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Craig, I'm going to, you can chime in whenever you want. So, you know, this is open. We have about 25 minutes left. And whenever I have Dora on, it's a time for me to, you know, just soak it all in and just relax. We like to take it down to the simple stuff, right, Dora?
Absolutely.
And because the basics stuff is where the power is. We forget about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I like to elevate the world around me by living my life upside down.
Oh, wow. That's a good way of looking at it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that just means that with the credentials that I possess, which is the ability to sympathize with people, have empathy, it allows me to come down to where people are so that the work can be done, you know. And sometimes it's difficult when you're under a lot of pressure because of the way that people respond to the love that you're conveying to them. A lot of times people are not reciprocating that love at that particular moment when you think that they should be. So, but that's no cause for you to have alarm and to get out of character, because you've learned a few things about that position. And since you're in a position where God has put you in, which is a favorable position, that's because God's doing this work through your life into these people's lives, where he's having a relationship with them, and your compliance and your submission to his lordship would be greatly in demand as far as listening to what God says.
Mm-hmm. And what I heard in there, and I've been talking to a friend of mine about this attribute of mercy. What you just said was having mercy on someone, and that mercy is when you're in a position of empowerment or power where you can literally tear somebody down. You know, look what I just did for you. You know, I didn't have to do this. I didn't have to be here. I didn't have to. Instead, you just had mercy and you left space for them to be whatever they were in that moment without changing your faith and what you were called to do. And that is powerful, because a lot of the time people jump out of character, like you say, or like Doris is saying, put on another face. When I see you put on a face, then I change my face. But when somebody changes faces and you keep your same face, you are in a power position, and then you have mercy by allowing them to be whatever they need to be, which leads to that compassion.
That's it.
Wow.
That's it. Because people, when they're coming into the knowledge of who they are, they're beginning to see themselves. And instead of running away from themselves, love is drawing them into this relationship so that they can open themselves up to somebody outside of themselves. And what I mean by that is that person has to feel that you're being truthful with them, because that's the cornerstone. And then they have to realize that you're being honest, because that's a cornerstone. And then they're going to have to be able to realize that you pay attention to feelings, because you put a value on feelings. Because feelings are very, very important in a relationship. If you want to get underneath your feelings, you're going to have somebody that you're able to open yourself up to, that's not going to control you or manipulate you or exploit you because you're asking questions about what they're doing.
Mm.
You see, and so it's difficult to it's not always easy is what I'm saying. I know there's difficulty in it, but if you get around the right people and you quit opening yourself up to people that are controlling you and manipulating you and exploiting you, and you open yourself up to people that don't do that, then you're going to find that you're having a relationship that you didn't have with these other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be meaningful to you, because now you're able to receive love from somebody, and then that love is developing inside of you. And then the next time you have an encounter with that person, you have some love to share back with them.
Hmm. Dora, what do you have to say?
Yeah.
What do you have to say in response to that?
Wow.
Yeah.
I have to say is if we're talking about how we relate to each other.
Yeah.
Being open, being feeling. Male saying this, woohoo!
Right.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that, guys.
You're an answer to a prayer because most males equate feelings to, and I didn't say all, I said most, and I don't know a lot, that their feelings are more topical. And it has something to do with the physical attraction and the physical side of let me get close to you and let you open, let you be open and let's be free with each other and let's not manipulate each other. So there's one thing that I've just learned. I am so learning so much. I just love learning. And and so one day I had this thought, and I said, I would really like to sit into a man. I just like to sit me into him, you know, like emotionally. And a part of me, I said, you know what, a part of me is waiting to see if I can sit, see if you would let me sit myself into you.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I need that. I need that. You know, that's something that we need. We need to stop apologizing for the things that God, our Creator, has built inside of us that we really need.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need to fit into you. I'm talking about a male. And that part of me is waiting on that. And when we enter into the relationship, male female, is we kind of just like go do the cons, do the steal it thing. You know, I'm not going to ask you, I'm not going to tell you, I'm just going to steal it. I'm not going to tell you that this is really what I need. Now tell me, what do you need from me? What is it that you need from me? Because when we go into these male-female, close, intimate kinds of sharing unions, knowing what you need from me, do you need me to cook? You need me to clean? You need me to talk to you? You need me to hold your
hand?
Listen. You need me to rub your feet? And so I think we should stop being so, pretending that we're so self-contained.
Yeah.
Like we are the creator. Mm-hmm. People, hear me. We need each other.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to need me.
Let me make a deposit in a love into your love bank. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Right. Okay. You ready? Are you ready? Get ready, because you know this is how we do it.
Okay. I'm listening.
Yeah. You tugging at. You know, it's like somebody's knocking at the door. You know, and I'm thinking, what? Somebody's knocking at the door. I go, who is it? You know, and they're all, it's me. And I'm like, oh, it's you. Oh, let me open the door. Hold on. And I gotta grab the handle, because the handle to my heart is on the inside. So I open up my heart to you. I'm like, hey, girl. And you're like, hey, Casey, what you doing, boy? What's up? I'm like, yeah, I haven't seen you in a while. What's going on, girl?
Wow.
Yes,
you know how we do it. You know how we do it. We're like, this is about love. You know what I'm saying? This ain't got, we got time for that stuff, man, because, you know, game over. We ain't playing no games. You know what I'm saying? No, nah. So, you know, we can have a good time. And that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to have a good time. You know what I mean? Because we open up ourselves to each other in such a way that we can be blessed. You know what I'm saying? And when you bless, you can't help but be a blessing. You know what I'm saying?
That's
God
right.
brings
yeah.
somebody in front of you. God brings somebody up in front of you. You know what I'm saying? And God lives up in you. And he wants to have a relationship with this person. Mm. So why do you want to get in the way of what God's doing? You know, and if you ever got in the way of what God's doing, you'd be like, uh-oh. And God would say, uh-oh, what?
Uh-oh.
You'd be like, I'm sorry, God. I made it about me. It ain't got nothing to do with me. It's all about you, God. God says, I just wanted to see if you was paying attention. I'm going, yeah, I'm paying attention. Yeah, come on, God. Yeah, I like the way you move your body, God. Oh, thank you.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Come on, give it up for God.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That
yay,
was good.
Yay, for God. Come on now. Come on now. Come on, do me. I need
you. I told you.
That was good. And then we reply with, thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
God said, no problem.
I am so grateful that you opened up the door.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, that was good.
Very good.
Okay. Yeah, very good. That's what I'm talking about. God's not only good, he's very good because he takes
very
your path
good.
When he takes yeah. your path when you lived in the world without the Spirit. You lived in the world without the Spirit. You didn't know anything. You was blind. That's blindness. That's darkness. You know what I'm saying? What's going on in darkness? Ignorance, all this other stuff. We don't need to get into all that. But you know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, God makes himself real to you. You become illuminated with God's glory. And all of a sudden, the darkest negative becomes the brightest picture of God's love. And you can't shut up. And you ain't never going to shut up. You're going to be praising God forever. Come on. Let's give it up for God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. I talk about excitement. Oh, man. Yeah, baby.
Oh, wow. That was good. That was good.
Yeah.
So we're going to shift. We got about 12 more minutes. And your presence, Craig, right?
Yeah, Craig.
Was very, very needed. We always welcome the men, though. We always welcome the men. We're like, come on, men, because, you know,
come
the
on.
Women, we're yapping all the time and talking and carrying on. It. We're like, where are the fellas? So you showed up, Craig, and you represented the men tonight, and we want to thank you, let you know we appreciate you.
You guys are making me blush. Stop it. What's cooking? Something's cooking in here. Oh, smells good. What is that? Yeah, I'm ready to eat, girls.
So I'm gonna let Dora close us out in a little bit, and Craig, you can continue to listen.
Oh.
We're gonna bring this on down a little bit. Well, not down, but in a little bit, so we can get all our little messages out. But definitely follow us so you can come back in on the next one. I do it about every Thursday night, though.
Yeah, I hope I remember that, but maybe, I don't know.
Okay.
I hope so.
All right,
I
got
to turn the fan on. I'm so hot over here. I just like,
me too. Me too.
Man, what the heck's going on around here?
Okay, Craig, you have a good evening.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was good.
Oh,
yeah, we always need that. We need that because we can just get so caught up in our words, and when, you know, they come in and add a little yang to the yin.
That's what I said. I need to sit in for you.
Yes. That's right.
Like,
that's right.
We are always like over here, over there. Oh, please. Oh, was that? I didn't know. Okay. Then it's like, and then he goes like, can I sit in for you? I just need you to kind of like bring me down. You know, just kind of pull me in and hold me. So I hope the guys are listening. Just pull. We're over here, we're over there because we're great multitaskers, right? And we're flouncing and bouncing and twisting and turning, and we're wearing so many hats. And then that husband man shows up and says, oh, I think I can fit into him.
Focus.
I think I can do
that. And then when you think about it, and you think about the masculine energy and that feminine energy, I talk about that a lot, but when you think about why women prefer male hairdressers, and a lot of the times what happens, and I noticed that that energy balances itself out, because when a woman is working, because as a former hairstylist myself, I noticed that when I'm working on a male, I'm more focused. Because I noticed that men don't like that multitasking, nervous type energy going on around them. So, you know, you kind of calm down a little bit. When you're working on women, they're talking, they're doing 50 things, they're digging in their purse, they're checking their phone, they're doing all kinds of stuff. They're not there to really enjoy the moment. When the men would come in, they're like, hey, I'm in the moment. I'm here enjoying the moment. And when we are multitasking and doing all kind of stuff, and I remember when, you know, my dad would come home and that energy would have everybody, okay, you know, it's time to, you know, kind of have a purpose. Settle down a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Settle down.
Yeah. But when the men want something done and then that woman can. Now, this is traditional stuff, but we also have people that flow back and forth in between those energies. But naturally, biologically, we can safely say that there is an energy to it. That is just is what it is, you know. And, you know, everybody tries to get real sophisticated with it. And I think that what happens is that takes the, again, the appreciation of the yin and the yang, the masculine and the feminine, the women and the men, you know, because we want to just, you know, not leave anything out or blur the lines or whatever. So now we've become non-appreciative of each other, you know. And sometimes it's just really good to say, you know, I appreciate you for just letting me be a woman. I appreciate you for just letting me be a man. I appreciate that I don't have to. Because really, when you try to force people to not fit in a category, you're still forcing, right? And if you try to force people to fit in a category, you're forcing. But when you're appreciating the face that is before you, just appreciating it, regardless of how I appreciate it, then it flows. It flows. So, you know, you can take it from there. We got about 6 minutes.
Okay. Thinking about the faces everywhere and what triggered those faces, and then in this moment of male-female interaction, that level of appreciation. And when that maleness, even if he's not aware of it, there's a sureness about it. And if he is aware of it, oh my gosh. I mean, it's there even if he's not aware of it. It's just like with
Dora, you're gonna get the men excited now. I can't have you getting the men excited. They'll be calling me looking for you. I'm going to be like, I look.
Well, in all honesty, it's like my friend Fisher says to me, he says, well, Dora, I tell you, even when you don't know you're doing it, you're doing it. I said, what am I doing? He says, you're just doing it. Okay,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, you're calling them in. You're calling them in.
Okay.
No, that's good. That's okay.
Okay. I know we need that. So for him to be able to when I see him, and that's what I'm looking for when I clock that. Whoa, you know, I've clocked it. I can't pretend like I have not clocked that. And I think we could, if females will be honest, and we come back to that basic attraction. Now, something else plays in later, but at that initial place when you clock that, and because we are, there's a divinity within us, and there's also our humanity. And the humanity on the side of the female, she's naturally biologically bouncy, flouncy, alluring. Well, we have to have that. Don't say that he's not attracted to that. You want him to be attracted to that. Now, what did you want him to do with it? If he's mature, he will probably say, whoa, now, that looks good. He may not need to go any further, but he has acknowledged that about you. And we have gotten away from that.
Right.
So when I see a male, and I said, and like I say, please don't let him be working with his hands. Go like, mm-hmm. Whoa, I think I could fit into that.
Yeah.
I think I can. But it doesn't mean that I have to do anything else about that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to go there. So this gulf between that God has put between part of the natural biological function of the male and the female, that aggravation, that I can't stand you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but I need you, so I've got to stand you. I got to tolerate you. We have lost, because we've gotten so weird. I can take care of myself. No, you can't take care of yourself. God taking care of all of us.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I can take care of myself. Oh, really? Then you can, you believe in, you know, you give yourself everything that you need. No, we need each other. And we are definitely in need of each other as we relate to male and female at this particular time of this shift that we're going through. And there are so many people that really alone, and they're lonely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's something I think we should talk about at some point, is even when you're in a house with someone else, sometimes you can still be lonely and you can be alone. Now, we know that God is always with us. God is very present with us.
Mm-hmm.
We know that. And mm-hmm. He wants us to reach out and touch each other. But now we got on the gloves. Now we got on the gloves.
Yeah, we got gloves and mask on and 6 feet apart.
And so now we're not, that doesn't bother us? Okay,
yeah.
So you didn't want to touch each other? Now I'm telling you, well, don't touch each other. And you're not, that's not bothering you?
Yeah.
you got your mask on and your hands are, I call the gloves handcuffs. And the glove, I call the mask muzzle. So you're handcuffed, ma'am, and you got your muzzle on. And that doesn't bother you?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know, why doesn't it bother you?
So with this last minute, I want everybody that's listening to think about Stevie Wonder's song, Love's in Need of Love Today.
Yes.
Love's in need of love today. Don't delay. Send in yours right away. Hating's going around, breaking many hearts. Stop it, please, before it's gone too far.
Yes.
So when I think of what you're saying, that is what's missing, because love cancels out fear.
It does.
Yes, it cancels out fear. So between now and next time, I want you all to reconstruct the world by reconstructing your mind. Okay.
Okay,
all right,
thank you.
That's the end of that. And I want to thank you all for being on. And I'll talk to you soon, Dora. And Craig, thank you for your input. It was very fun and brought in a great energy. And I will see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.